Breece Hall, is he a fade at 101? Here to break down some dynasty buys and sells starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. It must be Wednesday, folks, because we're talking dynasty. And if you haven't had a chance yet to go to check out the Dynasty Consensus Rankings on Razzball.com, when I tell you, we have some great sites, including one of the people on the show today, Derek Brown, representing Fantasy Pros. We're going to be breaking down some buys and sells for Dynasty Rookie Rankings and a little head-to-head action, a little competitive competition between our own Razzball's own Paul Blake and Derek Brown just shortly. Before we do, we want to make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, TikTok, and IG. And make sure you're always going to follow us at Razzball.com, where we have brand new tools and resources that you can use, from the ADP data to team name generators and a trade analyzer. So make sure you go to Razzball.com to check out all the great content we have there as well. Now I'm going to bring in one of my co-hosts for the day. At this point, I can't say I miss you every week, Paul Blake. It's good to see you. It's Wednesday. How you feeling, buddy?
I feel great, Bob. We got my mic on this time, so I think I'm ready to roll here.
We're both to a much better start this week on Wednesday. I love it. A little stutter in the beginning, but that's all right. We'll bounce back. But hey, as a reminder, people, go follow Paul Blake on Twitter at PaulBlakePB12, folks. So go check him out. Honestly, guys, he's a great up-and-coming dynasty writer at Razzball, so we love him. Make sure you go give him a follow on Twitter. Now we're going to bring in our other co-host for today. We're going to call him a co-host because, you know what? He's earned the promotion. He's doing a great job over there at Fantasy Pros. You can find him at dbro_FFB, and he also writes at fantasypros.com. What's going on, Derek?
Hey, guys. Thank you all for having me. This is going to be good. I think we're going to have some good conversations and a fiery debate to close out the show.
That's why we're here. So I'm loving it, man. So I scoured the consensus rankings, and make sure everybody, you're going to check them out. Actually, the link is in the description. I actually looked at Derek Brown's actual rankings on Fantasy Pros. So yes, I went above beyond today as a host. I actually dug into the actual Fantasy Pros rankings to pull out some nuggets from Derek Brown's actual rankings, not the consensus. We have some players that you're going to buy and sell, and the first one is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. We're going to start off with your – actually, you know, let's save that one. Let's go with a buy. We're going to start off on a positive note. I decided we're going to start on a positive note. You actually have Jameson Williams at number 2. Now, our consensus has him at 5, so you're about 3 spots higher, but that's actually the number 1 wide receiver. So talk to us a little bit about – our top 2 receiver on your list. Talk to us a little bit about Jameson Williams, why you have him at number 2.
Because I think he has the ability to become an elite alpha in the league. I mean, if you look at what Jameson Williams, and I get that we only got a 1-year sample out of it. Top competition, went to Alabama, dude off the street, and stole the number 1 role. And all of his efficiency metrics just line up beautifully. I mean, you're looking at a player that was 13th in yards per route run last year. And while we know that the deep threat and the ability to stretch the field is all in his range of outcomes. That's in his skill set. That's in his bucket, his Batman tool belt. Okay, we know that. I don't think that people give Jameson Williams enough credit for the fact that he is a triple threat. He can separate and dominate at all 3 levels of the field as a player. Like, if you look at not just the deep ball stuff, like we talked about, as far as in the middle area of the field, he was 4th in receiving yards last year, 2nd in yards per route run. In the short and intermediate parts of the field, he was top 16 in passer ratings last year amongst all collegiate wide receivers with 50 or more targets. So I think that's the type of upside that if you marry all of this, and I think people are sleeping on his ability as a short and intermediate threat, as well as we know the skills, we know the speed, and we know the ability to take the top off of defense. That's a given. But people are underrating the other parts and pieces of Jameson Williams' game. Like I basically said in my write-up for Fantasy Pros and my prospect profile, Jameson Williams is Calvin Ridley with afterburners. That's how I look at him.
So now I want to talk a little quickly, Paul Blake. We're going to jump down to your buy. And right now I'm tired of chasing around with these Chiefs running backs. We talked a little bit a couple weeks ago about an undrafted Chiefs running back that you were high on. Now you're going to be talking about another Chiefs running back, Rutgers standout, Isaiah, I want to say it's Pacheco? Pacheco, terrible with names. I apologize, but you can break it down. You have him up at 34th right now. His consensus rank is 47. Tell the people about why you're in love with the Chiefs backups.
Well, obviously, you know, you want to get in on that Chiefs offense because they just run, man. They're awesome. You got to love Andy Reid. You got to love his play calling and his eye for talent. It is a Pacheco, so you kind of pronounce it like a P-U instead of a P-A. But, yeah, man, I like this guy for many reasons. Just out of the gate, he kind of reminds me a little bit of a guy I talked about last week, Tyler Beatty, where he's in a tough conference, the Big Ten. He's on one of the worst teams in that conference, and yet he's able to produce week after week and just be a bell cow type back. So 5'10", 215, so pretty good size. You know, not huge, not tiny, but he's got good build, and he's a sturdy 5'10", 215. You know, the eye-popping 40 is what really probably got him drafted. That's probably why the Chiefs said, we cannot let this guy go undrafted free agent and just open all the other teams open to get a look at him. We're talking a 4'3", 740, 118 broad jump, 33-inch vert. So this guy is a superstar athlete, got a lot of ability there. He's a tough New Jersey kid who rarely misses games, very durable, very reliable, high-energy back. He's always kind of jittering, keeps those knees moving, grinds through the contact, great burst. You know, when he's got an open hole, he goes for it. I mean, he really burns it. And he's, let's face it, Rutgers, he's probably running behind, you know, 3- and 2-star offensive linemen going up against defensive linemen that are full of 4-stars, full of, you know, high 3-4, maybe even 5-star type guys. And he's making things happen. Great pad level, keeps the pad level low, got a strong, stiff arm. It's going to be the things I don't like about him. It's going to be tough sledding for him. You know, I don't know if he's going to make the team out of camp. I really don't. You look like, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in front of him. Jerick McKinnon's in front of him. He got Ronald Jones in front of him. I don't know if he beats all those guys out. I don't know if he does have experience as a kick returner. So maybe they kind of keep him in that capacity, but I'm reticent to think that they'll actually do that. I think he may wind up on the practice squad, or they may try and put him on the practice squad. Another team may try and sign him. But this is a type of talent that you at least want to keep an eye on and make sure you follow where he goes and sees where he gets an opportunity. Because if he does get that opportunity, I see a potential 3-down back. You know, he's got some work on the pass pro, just like every running back coming out of college. And he's got to get some work done on the receiving end. But I will probably bump him down a little bit in a rankings update, but not too far because I love the potential. We're talking immense potential here.
I'm glad to hear my peer pressure is finally working. I got you to drop them. This is good. All right. So let's jump down to some consensus guys that were actually fading. And now listen, I actually decided to do this one second because I want the people to not, you know, cancel the show. Razzball's canceled. Derek Brown's canceled because everybody's got Derek against Derek Brown. It's basically not just, this is like everyone versus Derek Brown. Breece Hall at 4. I mean, everybody's got to bet 1 at Fantasy Pros. You don't even agree with your own people. What's going on? Talk to me about why you have that 4.
People think that, and they see that ranking, and they see that he's not the consensus 101. He's not even my RB1. And they think that I hate Breece Hall. I don't hate Breece Hall. I really, really don't. Okay? But when you look at Breece Hall's game, and I went through all this in my prospect profile. I've talked about it on social media. Everybody talks about Breece Hall in this legendary status. He's Jonathan Taylor. He's all these other, he's Saquon Barkley. He's all these, the comps are astronomical when people talk about Breece Hall. And it's not that I don't like Breece Hall. It's that I don't see the same things. If he would have not come out and blown out the combine, then I don't think that people would have been talking about Breece Hall in the same type of heights that they're already discussing Breece Hall. And this is, again, this is not me hating Breece Hall. Like, I have Breece Hall as a top 12 dynasty running back, okay? But when you break down Breece Hall's game, and the reason I have him behind Kenneth Walker, and everybody's like, well, why do you have him behind Kenneth Walker? But you have Breece Hall above Kenneth Walker in redraft rankings. And I'm like, because Breece Hall has a clear year one path to playing time and volume. Kenneth Walker, look, Rashad Penny's on a one-year deal. Okay? So as soon as next year, it's his backfield. But we don't know if it's going to play out this year. So just to clear that up, but the reason that I have Breece Hall down there is because I believe the talent of Drake London to be an alpha. I just talked about Jameson Williams. Those are my top two players. And Kenneth Walker, I have over Breece Hall. And the way that I look at Breece Hall is, and again, my comp for him, and people hate it because they hate the player, was Lamar Miller with better draft capital. And people cannot stand that comp. If you look at these two players, damn near identical 40 times. Damn near identical size, speed, weight, BMI, all those different things. The way that they win in their games is so similar. Breece Hall is not a tackle breaking back. Breece Hall is a really good outside zone runner. He's a really good breakaway running back. He's a really good runway back. But nobody talks about the question marks or not even the concerns about his profile. Everybody just goes, he ran a legendary 40. He's got production since the beginning of when he hit the collegiate field. Okay, that's all great and grand, and I'm not dissuading any of that. But when you look at Breece Hall's game and you dig a little bit deeper, his yards after contact per attempt have fallen in each of the last three seasons. And he wasn't ranked high. So we're talking about a guy who needs a good offensive line. He's going to get one with the Jets. The run game scheme is good for him. But if we're looking about as a prospect, here's his ranks amongst all running backs the last three seasons in yards after contact per attempt. With running backs with 100 or more rushing attempts. 50th, 36th, and 119th. Do those sound like legendary numbers from this guy that people are just like, he's the undisputed 101. Dear Lord, I'll sell off my firstborn. I have to have Breece Hall. As well as if you look at him in the passing game, here's his ranks in all running backs with 20 or more targets of the last three seasons in yards per route run. 43rd, 52nd, and 69th. Do those sound like legendary numbers to anybody? No. And then you compare him against Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker has a better collegiate yards after contact per attempt. Kenneth Walker had a higher percentage of 10-plus yard runs. And oof! Kenneth Walker matched him in breakaway run rate over their collegiate careers. So for everybody that just thinks that Breece Hall is this slam dunk 101, it would be so much easier in my life if I just went with consensus. But we all have our processes, and my process says Kenneth Walker is immediate, like slam dunk, a better rushing talent. And if I think that Kenneth Walker is a better rusher, and I do believe based off the numbers that outside of volume stats, Breece Hall is a tad bit overrated as far as what he brings as a pass catcher, then yeah, I mean, I'm willing to drop Breece Hall down to 4. Again, don't hate the guy. But I think Jameson Williams and Drake London have elite alpha upside as soon as this year, maybe next year for Jameson Williams, depending on when we see him hit the NFL field. I think that they are both wide receivers we could be talking about as top 12, top 15 dynasty wide receivers as soon as the middle of this year, after this year. So versus Breece Hall, who, again, I have ranked extremely high, but when you dig deeper into the numbers, there are a lot of concerns on his prospect profile that nobody wants to talk.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Talk about, but they're still there.
Listen, Breece, if you're listening out there, I'm sorry. I think Derek likes you, but we're just not all in on you. It's okay. We like you. We just don't love you. That's all right. You know what? We need friends in life, right? Not everyone can be a lover. So it's all good. Hey, listen, that was a great breakdown on Breece Hall. I do appreciate that. Now, Paul, now just as much blasphemy, there's a lot of popularity amongst a Washington football team, Commanders, Brian Robinson Jr., and you've just decided this guy is not even a thing. You're like, everyone's like, he's like, oh, borderline second round dynasty pick. You're like, I don't even want him in my rankings. You drop him to 49th. What's the deal? Talk to us about Brian Robinson.
Yeah, so Robinson, I will probably move him up a little bit, but I'm not going to go crazy on it. He'll still probably be low 40s, high 30s. And the reason I'm moving him up is some of the reports on OTAs are coming out pretty good. They say he's looking quick. He's looking much more speedy. He's always had the good feet. I've liked the good feet from back in the SEC. But when I watched his highlight, I guess I'll tell you the reasons why I don't like him. The reason why I had him a little bit buried, okay, was when I watched the film, where's the burst? You know, where is the go? It seems like this guy just is running in mud for way too long. You watch the highlight reels, even on the highlight reels, and I try and watch all the games because obviously the highlight reels aren't going to show him having difficulties trying to find the hole, having difficulties being successful. But even on the highlight reels, I'll see a hole open up and he'll get through it, and then he just gets run down. You know, there's just none of the breakaways. I found one breakaway run. It was a 63-yard carry against New Mexico State. And I mean, with all due respect to the Aggies, you're Alabama. I mean, you kind of got to expect that from Robinson. You know, he runs upright, poor pad level, doesn't really get those pads down through contact. And if he would, my God, the guy's a monster. He's 6'2", 225, and he is rocked up. This dude is yoked. If he could drop those pads and just push through and grind through these tackles, he would be a really, really tough player to deal with. But I don't see it. I don't see the breakaway speed. I have questions about the pass catching ability. I think if you're drafting him thinking he's going to catch a lot of passes with JD McKissick there, you know, I don't see that happening either. You know, like I said, he looks slow on film to me. And if you're slow or look slow and you go up against Antonio Gibson, you're going to look real slow because that dude can run. He is really fast. The one thing that I kind of am coming around to is I watched a lot of the games, kind of even preparing for this again. I watched a lot of that Florida game, and he broke some runs that looked like they should have gone further, and they didn't. And when he gets up off the field, he's hobbling. He's that ankle or something in the leg seems to be kind of giving him some issues. So it makes me wonder if maybe that year he wasn't fully healthy. Maybe that's where the burst went. And, you know he's a grinder. You know he's a hard worker. He stuck it out through Alabama, playing behind Damian Harris, you know, Jacobs, Najee Harris. He took his time. Jerome Ford bailed and went to Cincinnati, which is cool for him. I mean, that's fine. But Robinson's probably a high character guy who's willing to work through that. And I think the Commanders need that type of guy. Right now, I don't see the breakaway speed. I'm always shooting for upside. And if you can't break the long runs, where's the upside really?
All right, gentlemen. I hope everyone's nice and loose. Seems like everyone got a good rant out. We're ready to debate now. I'm tired of everyone being friendly. Let's get toe-to-toe on some rankings and put the money where your mouth is here. And first of all, this man is near and dear to our podcast, David Bell. And Derek Brown is coming in here looking all fancy right now, his nice beard, and telling us that David Bell is just garbage. It's not even nice. So currently, Derek Brown has him at 24th. Paul Blakeham has him at 9th. Consensus is 13th. As a courtesy, because you are the guest on our show, we'll let you go first. Tell us why you're not on the David Bell hype train.
I was going to ask you all to sit here and build up the hype, so that way I can sit here and tear it down. But I'll start it off with the not-so-happy side of David Bell. So everybody discusses David Bell, and I'll start off by telling you, you know, obviously, and I'm sure y'all are going to hit on some of these points. The early breakout age, collegiate target share, those are good. Those are the good things on his profile that you want to see. And I have him as a top 24 player. So second round, back into the second round, okay? The concerns, it's not just the athleticism, but we do need to discuss the athleticism for David Bell, okay? As a player who, I'm not talking about his 40. I really don't care about his 40. But if you look at the things that matter, his 10-yard split, 36th percentile, his jumping is atrocious. Like, these are all things that speak to athleticism. 21st percentile vertical, 32nd percentile broad. The thing that correlates well with route running suddenness in your routes, 19th percentile, three cone, none of that's good. And for all the good things that we talk about with David Bell, as far as the early collegiate production, where he was 94th percentile in breakout age, 86th percentile in target share, those are good. His dominator wasn't fantastic. 69th percentile is good, not elite. So it's not a player that I can push up into the first round. And then you marry that with draft capital. He didn't go in the first round. He didn't go in the second round. And when we talk outside of the early career production, when you dive, again, we're talking about diving in deeper about how these players win, what they look like, and efficiency metrics. His yards per route run do not screen to me as a player that, unless he can win from the slot, win, and yes, he was a bully last year. He was third in missed tackles forced. Again, you go back to the two previous seasons, wasn't as pretty, people. 31st and 49th in missed tackles force. So 1 year sample of him just being a bully in the open field. If we look at his yards per route run, none of his seasons are elite. Not even close to being elite. Amongst all wide receivers of 50 or more targets, last 3 years. 33rd, 51st, 100th. None of that's good. None of it's great. His last season, okay, that shows some potential. But even that ranking is not fantastic because the players he's around in yards per route run in his best season, that he could kick out in this metric, which I think is highly predictive, okay, outside of other things that we marry in prospect profiles. Here's the players that he was around with his yards per route run, which was 2.7 for any of the other nerds and spreadsheet geeks out there, okay? I love you. The players he was ranked around, Jalen Naylor, who was a late round pick, barely got drafted. Danny Gray, who nobody outside of his speed is talking about him as a really guy, like a guy we just are like, hoo-hoo-hoo, I need him in Dynasty. Velus Jones? Yeah, not another guy we're going to talk about highly in Dynasty outside of the age jokes and stuff. So while I don't hate David Bell, I don't understand the hype, and I can't push him up into the area of players, wide receivers that either have better prospect profiles, better draft capital that are tied to them, and give us a better sense that not only the floor and the ceiling is much higher at the NFL level.
So, Paul, help me fix the vibe. I'm upset right now. I don't know what to say. So help me fix the vibe. Talk to the people. Talk to Derek. Explain to him what's going on.
Yeah, I wanted me to rain on the parade. The parade is here. I'm sorry I'm the rain cloud, but I'm just trying to spit facts, man.
Derek, we gave you your time. Paul, please fix the vibe. Go.
No, it's great to have dissenting opinions and talk through these things. I mean, that's awesome, man. For me, I guess we could start with the after the catch game. His first couple of years, not that strong. And I know that was something that he wanted to work on. And I like it when I see a prospect who says, okay, I'm going to work on X, and then they get better at X. And that's exactly what he did. If we want to talk about kind of that short, not many yards run per route, that's a good point. But you also kind of got to realize what defenses you're running up against in the Big Ten. That many of the defenses play cover three. So you're looking at, Nebraska's going to throw a lot of cover three at you. Iowa's going to run almost exclusively cover three at you. They're used to bailing. They're going to roll out. You also got to remember, Purdue, not exactly a juggernaut when it comes to recruiting offensive linemen. So there's not a whole lot of time for these Purdue quarterbacks to really sit back there and let players run down the field and develop these long pass plays. So I think that's kind of all part of it. Jeff Brohm, it was their coach, and he's going to scheme him up. Sometimes he's going to get him more open than he probably deserves to be open. Other times it was David Bell, just running really good routes and getting open and being that guy. Once again, he kind of falls into that category of in a big-time conference on a lesser team and still producing against the likes of Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, some of these big boys, Penn State, who give people a lot of trouble. Love David Bell, and I really... So I liked him going into the draft, but honestly, going into the draft, I did not have him 9th overall. Situation really made this thing push this thing up the draft board for me, because you got Amari Cooper, who is legit, solid NFL wide receiver. That guy's got the goods. But then you got Donovan Peoples-Jones, another guy that I loved, has all the athletic metrics you want in the world. I mean, this guy can outrun just about anybody. He's big and fast, but someone forgot to tell him that he is. He seems to not be able to get off the press coverage, seems to have troubles getting open. He just can't seem to get it going, and I've wanted him to get it going, but he just hasn't because I own him in a couple of dynasty leagues. You're also looking at another guy, David Njoku, athletic skills through the roof, but why can't this guy get it going? My gosh, he should be a top-tier tight end. He's got ability like few other tight ends have, and he just doesn't seem to get it going. Even if you want to dig a little deeper, you know, Anthony Schwartz, you know, Schwartz is as big as mine. I see that. That dude can run, man. He's really, really fast. He's way fast. He probably runs circles around David Bell. But none of them are as good a football player as David Bell is. He just knows how to get open. He's a reliable receiver, makes the plays, and he's dependable. I think situation is going to push it. I think Derek brings up a lot of good points about maybe him down the road, and I think he can certainly question the ceiling. But I think the floor is pretty strong. So that's where I'm at with David Bell.
So it sounds like what this whole thing might be ended up if Deshaun Watson actually plays football. So we might be saying one thing if Deshaun plays. Don't get me wrong. Jacoby Brissett might be able to carry some wide receivers, but I don't know how great he'll be for Dynasty. But that's all we got for today, folks. This was another fantastic episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Before we go, we want to give a shout-out to our guest, Derek Brown, for being on the show today. And make sure you're following Derek on Fantasy Pros. But Derek, before you go, tell us a little bit about what you got coming up. Any articles, any new things you want to promote?
Oh, man. Yeah. Again, thank you all for having me. This has been a blast. I love still talking to all the prospects in Dynasty. It's a perfect time to be talking to these guys after the NFL draft. And now you can work trades. A lot of rookie drafts are concluded. So we got a lot of time on our hands before week one to sit here and work the Dynasty with TradeWire. But yeah, man, like right now in Fantasy Pros, it's all it's full steam ahead right now. Full steam ahead. We have the pedal to the metal. We are kicking it up to 11. The redraft kit is live on the site right now. It is a mountain of information, from myself, from Andrew Erickson, Joe Pisapia, Friedman, Fitz, everybody on the team has done a monstrous workload with this. I mean, it's insane. You can get my perfect draft, how I'm approaching early, middle, late rounds, all these different things, ranking, strategy. So go check that out at Fantasy Pros. There's a ton of content with that. If you're in the best ball streets, we have our best ball kit live. And if you're still in Dynasty, and maybe you haven't done a rookie draft yet, maybe you're in startup season, because hey, if you're not doing trades, it is startup season right now. We have the Dynasty kit that is live at Fantasy Pros as well. You got any questions on trades and stuff, hit up the Discord. I'm in there 24/7 answering questions. And like I said, guys, this is a blast. Thank y'all for having me. Love it, love it, love it.
Awesome. Well, make sure you go give him a follow on Twitter, guys. DBro_FFB. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure you're following us at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, TikTok, and IG. And make sure you're going to razzball.com for all the latest updates and tools. For that man, Paul Blake, and that guy, Derek Brown, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. We're out of here.